85, and I'm Valentina Bold. I'm about to interview Mr. Godbold of Stowmarket, Suffolk, about his memories of going to the cinema in the 1930s.
A new type, is it?
It is, yes. Mm-hmm. So that looks like that's working a lot better. So I'll just...
I've got the notes out.
Actually, if before we start talking about the cinema, I asked you one or two more questions about yourself.
No, I don't mind.
Just so that
No.
That would be great.
Especially if you send me a book.
That's well. I just want to make sure we get that straight.
And I'm mentioned in it, so.
Right. You were born in Stowmarket. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
Can I ask what sort of work your father did?
He was a shoe mender because he got wounded in the First World War.
Mm.
And they taught him how to mend shoes, you see.
Mm.
But prior to that, he was a butler in a big house. But when he went in the army, he got wounded and in the First World War. And they taught him shoe mending, and he made a living out of that. It's a bit of a poor sort of living, you know. But there, that was something, I suppose. There was a lot of depression after the First World War, and people, you know, unemployment and all that sort of thing.
And did your mother work?
No, she was an old-fashioned wife, which stayed with the children and tomb and that. She took in washing and different things like that, but they didn't work in them days. Mm. Like, it was only after the Second World War when women started to go to work after they married, you know.
Mm.
They went to work before they married.
And can I ask how many sisters and brothers you had?
Pardon?
How many?
Five.
That's great. And have you always lived in Stowmarket, round
mm-hmm.
about?
Yeah.
That's great.
Apart from, you know, when I was in the army, but...
Sure. And can I ask what year you were married in?
Pardon?
What year you were married in? Were you married yourself?
Was I what?
Can I ask what year you were married in?
Oh, it's 1943.
That's great. And...
During the war.
And does your wife work, or did she work?
She was working on the war work, you know. She wasn't very old then. But, she just... See, you left school at 14 and you went to work in those days, and she was on war work during the war. That's where I met her, because I was... She lived at Hemel Hempstead in Hertfordshire, and I met her when I was stationed there.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
So she wasn't a local girl then,
She wasn't local here. I was going to, after the war, I was going to go and live at Hemel Hempstead, but I didn't like it. So I said, well, would you come back to Stowmarket? And she said yes. And then we got this house. We've been in here ever since the war ended, you know.
Ah, so it's a nice part. I like it.
I've done a lot of work to it, but that's nice. It's very nice. I wouldn't like to leave it, you know, even if I won the pools. But I know the wife wouldn't, but they would say, well, you know, you shouldn't be in the council house if you've got all that money, and probably have to buy something else.
And do you have a family yourself? Do you have children?
Yeah, I've got three children, yeah.
That's great. The only other thing I wanted to ask was if you had any... Were you brought up in a particular religion, Church of England, or...?
Church of England, yeah.
That's great. And do you have any strong political views? Have you ever been...
I'm Labour, really. All my life I've voted Labour.
Right.
I was secretary of the local Labour Party
at one time.
In the 50s and that.
Yeah. But, well, that's great.
I'm not, you know, sort of... dogmatic about it and all that. I can see the other side have got some good points and all that sort of thing, but I think at least we should have a good Labour opposition if we don't win, to stop them doing, you know, sort of things, which they sort of get drunk with power. Like, I mean, I think Mrs. Thatcher was drunk with power at the time, and she was doing all sorts of silly things, and then she brought the poll tax in, which is absolutely ridiculous. So if even if you don't get in, you have a good Labour opposition, that's something, I think, isn't it? It's what my dad used to say, you want a good opposition.
Well, I agree with you there. You won't get an argument from me on that one.
Are you Conservative yourself?
No, far from it. Huh? Far from it. I think the Conservatives are thin on the ground in Glasgow.
That's right.
Beth, yeah. And
what would you be, a nationalist?
I've voted Labour myself. I have sympathy with the nationalists, but I usually vote Labour myself.
Yeah.
So it's
good.
Yeah. Mhm. But I mean, that was really all I wanted to ask before we got on to the cinema, just to so really could get an idea, but a bit of an idea about your own
background. Mm-hmm. Here comes our coffee.
Oh, lovely.
Done.
That's on the tape.
Thanks very much.
Sugar. That's yours. Table man.
Thanks very much. That looks lovely.
Don't mind about the tablecloth.
I mean, I was very, very interested with what you were telling me on the phone about the cinema.
Yeah.
I mean, how often did you go to the cinema as a child?
You mean in the 30s or? Mm-hmm. Well, we used to go, you know, 3 or 4 times a week.
Really?
Yeah. Mhm. That was the only thing to look forward to. See, I was in the building trade. In the 30s, and it'd be cold and that outside on a cold day, and you just look forward to going to the. We had 2 cinemas in Stanmore. We had an old flea pit, what they call it, you know, and then we had a new Regal built, and so we had, you know, quite a choice of films and that.
Mm.
I used to go 3 or 4 times a week.
Did you prefer the Regal to the old? Did you prefer the Regal to the older one?
Oh yeah, that was a new place and modern than that, and they had a better sound system. The other place, you know, they just sort of didn't have a very good sound system, and that would break down and all sorts of things, and a bit of a laugh really, but there. In the finish, they made a good sound system, but then that was pulled down in the finish.
That was that wasn't the Institute, was it called?
That was called, well, yeah, that was part of it. That was,
yeah.
And this chap hired the part of the Institute.
I see.
How did you know that?
I saw a book about East Anglian cinema, so I looked up Stowe Market.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But did it change name later on?
Pardon?
Did it change name later to the Palladium? Is that right?
Well, yeah, they called it the Palladium, yeah. when it went into... Actually, it was Silent Films, and a woman used to play the piano, but in 1928, when sound come in, they had a sort of a sound system. You used to get a mix of silence and sound, but with the Regal, when that was built in back 1934, that was complete you never had any silent films there. That was complete, because there was a lot coming off the production line, you know, musicals and gangsters and westerns and all that, you see. But we used to go to the Palladium now and again, because sometimes you'd get a film at the Regal, which you, British weren't any good at making films really, you know, they were corny really, and we used to say, well, that's an old British film there, we won't go, we'll go to Palladium and that, you see. Mm. It's a bit of a laugh there. Mm. They used to open the doors at half time, and everybody used to go to pubs, and there was a sweet shop over the road called The Bell, and everybody used to get crisps and sweets and all that. When the unemployed were waiting round the door, I guess, and they all used to pile in, they hadn't paid, you see, but they hadn't got the money. I think the owner realised that, you know, he didn't do nothing to stop them, because he knew they hadn't got much money, and they used to pile in and see the main film, you see. It's a joke, really.
What was it like inside?
At Palladium? Mm. Not very good, really. It was, you see, the Regal being brand new, sort of, well, made it, the comparison, terrific, you see. Mm. But they never used to charge much. I think you'd go about 4 pence, old money and that, you know. It's quite reasonable, really.
Do you remember the opening of the Regal? Did they have a stand-down?
Yeah, I do remember when it opened, because everybody was looking forward to going and that. But I can't really remember much about it, but there used to be big queues to get in and that, everything. But they did up Ipswich at the Regent, and they were always big queues. But if you went before 4 o'clock, that was cheaper.
I see.
Yeah, we used to bike up sometimes and the 12 mile and go in before 4 o'clock, and that was a bit cheaper, you know.
That's quite a way to go.
And they used to have continuous performances then, you see, and they used to have a man on the organ and that. There were no cinemas in Ipswich, you know, but the Regal was quite good, really. That suited us, really.
Mm. Well, what was it about the Regal that you liked?
Well, being brand new, and the sound system was good and everything, and very nice in there, you know, you're really warm and everything, you really enjoyed it, especially if you've been out in the cold all day and that.
Because it's quite a long way to cycle there and back.
What, to Ipswich? Yeah. You never used to think nothing of it.
Did you know it?
We could do it in half an hour on the bikes. I mean, my brother used to go up, and there was plenty of pubs where you could leave your bike and nobody ever touched them and all that. Like you do today, you can't leave your bike anywhere else, so I get stolen.
Did the weather not bother you, cycling?
Well, we wouldn't go if it was pouring with rain. I remember once we started, we got, you know, along towards Needham, and we packed up, we come back, you get sodden wet, you don't enjoy it like that. But mainly we wouldn't go if it was a bad day, you know, we just go. Then you could go up on the bus for one and sixpence old money in them days. When people went, the buses were crowded, they went and done some shopping, then all went to pictures and that, you see. And there were late buses, so you could, you know, come back about 11 o'clock at night if you want to.
It sounds like people had a good day out in the town.
Oh yeah, you could, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it was hardly anybody had a car, you see.
So was it mainly with your friends you went?
Pardon?
Was it mainly with friends that you
went? Well, when I was on the building trade, and it would be chaps on the same building, you know, and they were friends, I suppose, and we used to say, yeah, well, I'll see you, I'll be there and that. You see, I used to go in there. But, you know, so people say, you know, look, television have an effect on people, and I really think it do. I really see something, especially these children see something on television, right? And I think they could do the same thing quite easily, you know. I mean, I saw once where this youngster ran a coin down the car, you see. That was on television. Well, I mean, that put it in the mind of thousands of people. Well, my point I'm trying to make is that I think I used to go with a chap, and when we went to gangsters, he really come out, you know, he was aping the gangsters, he'd strike a match on the wall and that, and all this sort of thing, and on his fingernail. And you can see that these things did have an effect on people, you know.
Did you were the gangster films ones that you particularly enjoyed? Or?
Yeah, but the gangster films didn't last very long, you know. The history of the gangster film, you see, the golden age of the gangster movie was the 30s. Where you've got James Cagney, Edward G. Robinson, Paul Muni, and Humphrey Bogart, George Raft. And he was the one that used to toss a coin up all the time. That was his, well, gimmick, I suppose. Brian Dunleavy, Alan Ladd, and Barton McLean. But you see, that only lasted for a very short time, really. The gangster films were made in 3 or 4 years. But you see, the Hayes office, gangster films were glorifying a gangster and that, you see, and it was having an effect on people. And you had this Hayes office which was seeing that things should be right. You should never, in the Hayes office, you could never be in bed. A man and woman could never be in bed, you see. They had this code, you see. And then the FBI, you see, complained about the glorifying the gangsters. So they made a series of films which the FBI was the heroes, you see, like G-Men and Bullets or Ballots and Dead End and that. You see, where the gangster come off worse at the finish and the FBI come trumps, you see. So that was all done because of the Hayes officer and the pressures from the Catholic League of Decency, you see. So gangster films didn't really last a long time, but they've come back since with Al Capone and things like that. But you never see any blood in them days. It was not allowed to. If a gangster was shot with hundreds of bullets, but today you can show all the blood and that, can't you, see?
Yeah.
See, Hayes' office wouldn't allow it. Wouldn't allow the that was all against the code, you see.
It's interesting when you say that.
Now you say today I don't like films where everybody's jumping in bed and that sort of thing. I think that's unnecessary. Now, I saw a gangster film where this gangster was in this speakeasy and he picks up this girl and he said, you come back to my place. Well, somebody wanted to see this gangster later on, so he knocked on the door of the hotel bedroom and the gangster come in a dressing gown and the girl was in a nightgown. Well, that conveyed just as much to you, see? I mean, you thought, so he's a lucky bugger. know. And you didn't want to see all this reading about on the bed and all it. I think that's one of the reasons why people drop off going to cinema. I mean, I expect youngsters think that's grand, but they must put ideas in their head, doesn't it? They must think that's normal to pick up a man right away and go to bed with him, you know. So, seems wrong to me. But then, what's your next question?
Ah, well, I was really interested with what you were saying there. Thinking of, I was, the scene was going through my mind of, you know that film where James Cagney dies and he goes up some steps and goes down the other side and he's full of bullets, but as you say, not a drop of blood on him.
Dramatic. Oh, and another thing, in the when the FBI, when the Hays Code said there's too much of this glorifying gangsters, you've got to repent at the finish or something like that.
Mm.
So James Cagney, in one of his films, he got all these dead end kids and they glorified him. They thought he was marvellous, his hero and all that. And the padre went to James Cagney and said, can you go yeller at the finish? And James Cagney said, no way, and that, you see. No, he said, I got my public and all that. Because he'd got to go to the chair. And when he went to the chair, he blubbered and all like that. So you don't really know whether he was really afraid and frightened of dying, or whether he was doing it to suit this padre, you see. But that was all part of the Hays Code of making the gangsters not so, you know what I mean, glorified by the thing.
Was that the one with Pat O'Brien in it as the priest?
Pardon?
With Pat O'Brien.
Yeah, that's right,
yeah.
I forget what that was called. Yeah.
It's not Angels with Dirty Faces.
There was Little Caesar, 1930, Public Enemy, 1931, Scarface, 1932. Main characters were all modelled on Al Capone.
Who was your own favourite amongst the gangsters?
Pardon?
Did you have a favourite actor in the gangsters?
No, I like them all, really. The Brian Dunleavy, Alan Ladd, Barton McLean, Paul Mooney. All good. Edward G. Robertson was good. Mm. George Raft with the Tyne Cosson, man, you know.
I brought some stills with me. I think I did bring one of Edward G. Robinson because I remember you mentioning him on the phone.
Oh yeah, where'd you get this from?
These are from the Film Institute in London.
Oh yeah.
It's a photocopy of a photograph, but
yeah, he was good. We used to like looking forward to gangsters.
Mm.
Of course, gangsters. I mean, we used to like westerns too.
Ah.
And at the time, you know, we got the Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, Top Hat and Rubatta and Follow the Fleet, and Judy Garland, Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland, and that kind of thing. Deanna Durbin, but she'd come in late, really. She was The Wizard of Oz was made in 1939, and the horror films. So people used to be really horrified with horror films. If you was with a girl, she'd clutch her, and it's all very nice, and that's, you know. But King Kong and Boris Karloff and Frankenstein, and I don't know how you pronounce that.
Oh, Bela Lugosi.
You see, Count Dracula and Peter Law.
Did you like horror films yourself, really?
Yeah, it was all right at the time, really, as I say, especially if she was with a girl, because she would cuddle close to you. It really used to frighten them. You could get people call out, you do, look out, he's behind you, and all that, you know. Because I thought that was a real, of course, a lot of people sort of come from country districts, and, you know, they couldn't realise that was only to film. They'd call out something and that.
And you mentioned the Westerns there. Did you have favourite stars in
Westerns? Well, I think John Wayne was the best. Stagecoach in 1939, that was, I think he was the best, but I liked Henry Fonda and Victor MacLean. Mm. Errol Flynn made one in 1939, Dodge City.
I can't imagine him in a Western somehow. It's
Errol Flynn?
Yeah.
Well, they try everything, don't they, really, sometimes when they're a big star. James Gagney and Humphrey Bogart in the Oklahoma Kid in 1939.
And then you mentioned the musicals. I think one of the other ones I've got here is from it's an advert for Top Hat.
Oh, yeah.
Were they favourites of yours?
Oh, yeah, they were in them days. There's nobody to touch them, really.
What was it about Astaire and Rogers that attracted you?
Right, it's a tap dancing. I got so I could tap dance a bit in them days.
Ah.
Yeah, and we should be out with the boys and they say, give us a tap dance, Jim. Sometimes a dance and the band would stop and say, we had Jim Godbold here tonight. And I thought, oh no, God's sake. And give a demonstration.
Did you go to lessons or?
Pardon?
Did you have lessons in dancing?
No, I just picked it up from. Never had any lessons, any steps or anything. I just picked it up from seeing, the thingy.
Mm.
Music, Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers and that.
Did you go to dancing? I mean, did you go out dancing?
Oh yeah, we used to go to all these hops or like threepence, that threepence old money and that, you know, the British Legion Hall and we had a friend who had a car and he was about the only one, you know, hardly anybody had a car. And he used to run out to these village dances at Sudbury and places like that. And we used to run out. We didn't see no other car. Once you got out of the town, it was pitch black and no lights. And go to Sudbury and have a drink in the pub and go to the dance. Kersey, it was a pretty village. You want to see if you see a picture of Kersey, I saw. Lovely, lovely village. And there used to be nice dancers there.
Mm.
And we used to call round to Ipswich and there used to be a restaurant open. And we'd have eggs and chips there about 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning.
Did you have other favourites among the stars of the musicals?
I suppose Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire were the best, but Judy Garland did come in later, really, and Diana Durbin.
I think I've got one from
Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland. And
there's one of Diana Durbin from
1938. You see, they come in a bit later.
Yeah. I just saw Three Smart Girls quite recently. I mean, was Diana Durbin one of your favourites, or?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah.
What was
it? She could sing lovely. We've been on it half an hour. Yeah. Yeah, I saw that 100 million again.
What was it about her that you liked? Was it her singing that you liked?
The singing, like? Yeah. She's a lovely singer. She's pretty too, you know. Pretty.
Mm-hmm. She must have been very young, actually.
Yeah. Well, Mickey Rooney was ever so young when he, him and Judy Garland and Babes in Arms in 1939, they were, you know, very young, really.
Mm.
But he had a charisma, really, to, he was brilliant, really, but he's still on the go now, isn't he? You see him ever so old and that.
Mm.
Well, he can't be that much older than me, really. I've got that 100 men and a girl down there, you see. Naughty Marietta.
Oh, yes. Is that Jeanette MacDonald?
Three smart girls.
Yeah. Was it Jeanette MacDonald that was in Naughty Marietta?
Could have been, yeah.
Yeah. Did you like her as a singer?
Yeah, she's quite good, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any stars you didn't like?
Well, we didn't like British films at the time because they were a bit corny and that, you know. And,
I remember you mentioned George Arliss to me on the phone as someone you didn't like.
Well, today I would probably appreciate it, but, you know, it was too long drawn out and too much dialogue for us youngsters, you see, at the time. And that. But they did make one to Jesse Matthews. Made one or two musicals and that, but they were never up to the scratch of Busley Berkeley, the gold diggers. He used to make these hundreds of girls all dancing and that, and all the pianos moving. They had a man underneath. If you look closely, you could see the man underneath sort of moving all these pianos around, room and scan. But he was brilliant, wasn't he? Busby Berkeley, but and of course you've got Technicolor and that, but British films they wouldn't have them in America. Not good enough. Mind you, they had all these the star system and all these studios. They weren't going to let anybody else come in, were they? And of course, foreign films were in the foreign languages, weren't they, Sue?
So the British ones you tended to avoid?
Margaret Carr. She's an authoress. And she put down the decline of the cinema to the swing of the kitchen sink dramas and sex arguments with a constant declining audiences. I think she got something there, really. You see, they when the decline started after television come in, they jumped on anything, really, to get people to go, didn't they? So you got, say, my children were teenagers then and that, and they had a lot of these kitchen sink dramas and sex things and that, you see, to try to get people to go. But I think that's where they done wrong. But of course now they've come back to making really decent films, isn't it? But I don't think people with television are not going to leave the homes unless that's something very important to see. And I have been occasionally, but a lot of things I don't like about the cinema today. But we were young in them days, so probably we lapped up everything, really, because that was something to go, and that one, you see.
Did you enjoy the news and
the what?
Did you enjoy seeing the news in the cinema, the Pathé?
Oh yeah, they used to have a thing called Time Marches On. That was ever so good. Do you remember that?
I've heard people talk about it, but I don't know much about it.
That was made in America. That was a kind of a thing you'd see on Panorama Today or something like that. And he used to say, Time Marches On. The news, I mean, you wouldn't see, like, you'd see the final of the football, just the goals and things like that, the cup final and that, where you wouldn't see it otherwise, only in the newspaper, you see, but that's quite good. I used to like the news, yeah. But there used to be two films when you went to the Regent at Ipswich, you see. You had a sort of a second, they call it a second. And then the main film, you've got two films on one night, you see. They have a lot of adverts now and that, don't they?
And the other thing I meant to ask you about was comedies. Did you have...
Marx Brothers and them. Yeah, we didn't mind them. Yeah. We didn't mind them. They were quite funny, really. Get people coming out and poking somebody in the eye with two fingers.
So, the comedian I've got... I don't know if you like them at all. Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah, they're quite good, weren't they?
Do you think, did you like, because it's a different sort of comedy, isn't it? The Marx Brothers to...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Was it that sort of clever humour that you enjoyed more? Or?
Well, that was the effects a lot too, wasn't it? I mean, you would, you'd get Buster Keaton's and you'd be high on a building. Well, they show you how they'd done that. In them days, you didn't know. You'd think he was actually dangling from a high building. There's a sort of a platform underneath him, so he couldn't have fell anyway. And that, you see, but you don't see that. They were pretty good with the cameras in them days. King Kong was wonderful, really, how it was made. That was all staged in that one, you know, like a backdrop and that sort of thing, made it, and models and things. But I've seen King Kong not long ago, you know, they put it on during a week, I think, on the television. But sometimes the King Kong looked ever so big, and another time he looked terribly small. Where they got it a bit wrong, you know.
But did you enjoy these sort of special effects at the time? Was that?
Oh yeah, because we thought it was wonderful and that. But that's only now when you know how that was done and that. My wife don't like to know. She says she don't like to know. We went to see a quiz game made for television up London. We went and saw it, and they keep stopping it and starting again and things like that. But I saw one slick thing in the notes. See that? She said, "Well, I didn't really." She said, "It spoiled it." She said, "Keep thinking they stop it and that sort of thing." You see, that spoiled the illusion, really. You see.
I mean, did you talk much about films with your friends?
Yeah, we used to. Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever read any of the film magazines, like Picture Goer?
Oh yeah, yeah. We used to. used to be a lot of them picture girls magazines, didn't they? If you was a follower of films, you would naturally buy one of these, wouldn't you? Because it's like if you was interested in motorbikes, you'd buy a motorcycle book and you'd buy a movie book, you see.
Did you like the songs from the films as well?
Oh yeah, well it's the first time you heard them, didn't you? When they weren't allowed to be on the radio till they were the premiere, you know, of the film. But now if you've got a stage show like 42nd Street, they put the music out beforehand anyway, that the music is old, So the people say, of course, that's good, I'll go and see that. You see, but in them days, they're not allowed to, like, top hat and Roberta and them. They weren't allowed to put it out till the film was actually showing and that, you see. I don't know why. Not too much point in that, but perhaps I thought, well, the tunes would be old or something. And that might be.
Did you ever go to films more than once?
What you mean, you get one night and you say, cool, I like that. No, I never went more, because I think that'd spoil illusion somehow or other. You begin to see things that, from a different, you know, I don't know why, but... never went again.
Mm.
I used to tell somebody, you want to go and see that, that's a very good film and that, you see.
Did you like the more serious films as well? The
what?
Did you like more serious films?
Well, like 39 Steps.
Ah.
Yeah, that was a British film, but that wasn't too bad. Because you got Hitchcock done that, didn't you? I think you did.
Is that the one with Robert Donat and Madeline Carroll?
That's right, yeah. You know a lot about it, don't you? Huh?
Did you like Robert Donat?
Yeah, he was all right. He was the answer to Clark Gable and we'll see other nice-looking American star. Everybody used to, all his girls used to fawn over. I don't know, I forget his name now, but...
Not Robert Taylor. Not Robert Taylor, because I've heard a lot of women talk about Robert Taylor.
Robert who?
Taylor.
That wasn't his name. That was Robert something, I think.
Mm.
He was sort of an answer to Clark Gable. It was Robert somebody. I forget. Anyway... So a girl in her 30s would go to the cinema for a different reason for a man. I mean, a lot of girls here, when you get out in the country, were in service, you know, and they got 2 and 6 a week, with half a crown, which would be equal about, I don't know, what it would be, that's 30 pence. That's all they got, and they had an afternoon off, and they used to go, or afternoon and evening off, and they used to go to the cinema, and they used to wrap these people up, you know, these Clark Gables and Robert so-and-so, I forget his name, and Robert Donat and all that, because they lived in a dream world that perhaps some man would come along one day and rescue them from their situation. And the only really ambition in life was to find somebody and get married and have children. And that was the thing in them days, you see. But to them, that was a escape from the service and that, you know, or even if they worked in a shop or office, they used to crowd to these ones, there's a French chap too. Who was he? He was in a lot of films which girls liked. What's his name there? I can't remember, but he. They always defer. I know once I was talking in the cinema and a girl said, keep quiet, you know, she's really furious, and this chap was saying, I was worried about you, and that. I said, that's how he talked, you know. I that is a Frenchman. I can't think of his name.
Not Maurice Chevalier.
No, he was a singer. No, this one was a proper heartthrob from French, but they took him over to Hollywood and he made a lot. I can't think of his name, but anyway, girls used to sort of lap that sort of stuff up, whereas a chap would like a gangster film more than that, you see. So there was a difference in that line. They used to live in a dream world that somebody would come along and take them away from their service or whatever. Mm-hmm. Eventually they found a man and got married and had children. That was their ambition.
I mean, how did you feel when you were at the pictures? How did going to a picture make you feel? How did you feel when you were actually watching it?
Well, you sort of live the part, don't you? I mean, the gangsters and that, I can't explain it really, but you come out feeling sort of refreshed. And people used to say that, you know, you go to the cinema. I never used to make anything which was dreary to watch. I mean, if you went in a doctor's surgery, if that was shown, you went into doctor's surgery, you went in to see the doctor right away. You didn't sit around and with people all coughing and moaning and that. You see, that was bad cinema, you see. So you'd have an appointment with the doctor and you'd go right in and he'd tell you he was dying or something, you see. But some things with bad cinema, so it wasn't got to be dreary or anything like that. Because if you saw people all waiting and coughing about and all that, and you think, so, well, I've got to go to the doctor's tomorrow, and that would give a bad effect. You want to come out of the cinema feeling that, you know, perhaps one day you would be lucky and be in the money and all that sort of thing, you know. So you got how they used to do it. Yes, it was a dream world, really, wasn't it? They used to call it the dream machine, didn't they? The big studios and that. Yeah, it was an escape, I think, because no television or anything, unless you went into a pub, there's nothing else to do. Play billiards, I suppose, or something like that, but there was hardly anything to do. There was a radio, of course, but you see, you really went in there and you sort of escaped from all your worries and enjoyed it, didn't you? And come out feeling fine. Some people used to dress. I mean, I know my friend and me, we brought a black shirt and a white tie because one of the gangsters had this, you know, and all this sort of thing, you know. Yeah. It did have an effect on you, really, in a way. You sort of copied these sort of things and that. But it all made life more bearable, didn't it? When you got in the cold the next day working on the buildings, you it'd give you a little lift, didn't it?
Did your family enjoy the cinema as well? Your parents and...
Oh, yeah, yeah. My dad didn't used to go much, or mum, but sisters and brothers did, didn't it? When I was little, when they had the play again, they didn't have the Regal, they had silent films, and they used to have a serial. But this was before 1930, and if I didn't behave, he wouldn't let me go with him. If I pinched his Brill cream or something, he wouldn't let me. I used to cry on that, but he wouldn't take me. I wanted to see this serial. They'd be on the edge of a cliff and they'd begin to fall off, and the next week they were about 20 yards away from the edge.
I mean, were there other forms of entertainment available apart from the pictures and dancing, or did you enjoy sport or?
Well, if you took part in football or anything like that, cricket, and there was them sports, and watching the local team. We used to go and watch the local team and that, but apart from that, there wasn't much to do. People used to just saunter up the street and that, and speak to the girls and that. And it wasn't really much to do. So the pictures you look forward to going, you see. And it was a heyday, wasn't it? In the 30s and 40s and 50s, wasn't it? Because television didn't come in until about 50, did it? Mm. We had one in 1955, and we were the first ones up this road to have television.
Mm. Do you watch films on television now?
Well, sometimes I do a lot of reading. I think we're getting a bit cynical about television now, because you begin to criticise everything, but when it first came out, you lapped everything up, you see. My mate say his sister used to watch a test card. They want nothing else on. But no, I think you get a bit cynical on that. Mm. Then there's too much of this jumping into bed and that. I don't, think it's necessary, really. Almost everything I do, next minute they're in bed and that. As I pointed out, that show it just the same in that gangster film without all this. But I suppose that's what modern youngsters want. I don't know. As I say, it must give them ideas. I don't know.
And were you? Just looking at all your books there. I mean, were you keen on reading when you were in the 30s, or did you enjoy reading then as well? Or
just magazines more than anything. I didn't read many books in them days.
Mm.
But I've got large print books now, all on top of large prints, because after time you can't read these small print and make your eyes ache, you see. I turf them out from the library and we get them for 10p each.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah. And that's terrific. See that print there?
Ah, yes. Well, yes, it's very good. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's better. Now, these ones here, I can't read much now.
Mm.
But I did read them when I could.
Thanks.
Still, that's only by the wire, anyway.
Mm.
Is that tape still running?
It is, yes. Yeah.
Do you edit it at all?
No.
You don't? You just listen to it?
We just listen. We have a secretary who transcribes them.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I'll listen to it myself. So we don't edit them.
No. Oh, no. They do on the talk and magazine.
Sure.
They take but they only put part of you on it, and they go somewhere else, you see.
Yeah.
And then they send it to these blind people. They've got the regular customers, you see, but they don't have just one person on the tape. They,
sure.
They go somewhere else. Are you staying in Ipswich?
I'm actually, the reason that I said that I couldn't stay for lunch is because I have to go to Lowestoft this afternoon. What? I'm going there for a few days to talk to people.
To stay? You've got some friends there, haven't you?
No, I'm staying in a bed and breakfast.
Alone?
Yeah.
Well, have you got to speak to some people about the films, have you?
Yes.
Oh, they written in, did they?
Yeah.
This is the advert, which is...
Ah.
In the paper, where is it?
I'm interested to see that actually, because I haven't seen it. I might just actually take a note of the date that went in and see if I can get a copy of it. I'm very glad you did reply to that, because it's...
Yeah, I thought, well, that's about my age, and I'll have a go. So you've got some... interview some people in Lowestoft.
Yes.
You go the bus from Ipswich there?
I'm going to get the train.
Train?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Lowestoft, nice place.
I've never been. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
The town is actually traffic free, you know.
Ah.
So you can shop without any traffic. Like Ipswich is part of Ipswich is traffic free. Yeah, I like going to Lowestoft. It's a nice music shop there.
Oh.
Where so, you know, music for keyboards and that.
Mm.
And we went round an old, what's the name, trawler there. Cool. They must have had a life on them. It was all steel and that. Be knocked about and that on the waves and whatnot.
Mm.
Hard life, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, we go down there. I went down there this summer on an outing, you know, we have outings. I used to work down the ICO Paints and we have several outings and that was one of the outings. And we had lunch in Norwich first at the airport.
Mm.
And then we come down to Lowestoft and we'd walk round there and in the shops and different things and then we made our way home.
It sounds lovely. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Do they pay you from the...
Oh, yes.
They give you expenses, do they?
And expenses, yeah.
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 Yeah, I always wonder, you know, when whether it be somebody else with you, you know, when you come back. You can't do it alone, are you?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Is somebody doing another area or something?
Well, there are three of us in the project. There's the secretary, project director, and myself. But I'm the only one that does the interviews.
Oh, I see, yeah.
So,
And have you been in any other part of the country?
Yeah, I've been talking to people in Manchester.
Have you?
And also in North London.
Yeah.
So it's been quite interesting getting different points of view.
Yeah. Are there similar viewers like? Or?
Actually quite different. Different stars are cropping up.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's been interesting.
Yeah.
So actually in Glasgow... people I've talked to have mentioned very much the same sort of stars that you have.
I think it was universal, really. Yeah. I mean, they're all distributed almost the same in that one. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah, I was around Glasgow during the war, and at Johnston. It was at Christmas time. They were friendly and they were nice people.
Yeah, well, I'm very much enjoying being here as...
Suffolk is a nice place, nice... I mean, the town, you got off at the Combs Ford, do you remember me telling you to?
Yeah.
The town is...